Now concluding our program today, Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker are here with another segment of their Left in the Law series. On June 6th, a federal judge ruled in support of an ACLU lawsuit going forward against the Justice Department's policy of separating children and parents at the U.S. border. Hocken and Snedeker take up this lawsuit and what is driving Jeffrey Sessions and the Justice Department in their hardline policies on asylum.
Well, let's start, Mike, with what is old and new about this policy. Jeff Sessions has put into formal policy what to some extent has been happening for some time. And in spite of massive outrage about the inhumanity on display in separating children, thousands now of children from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border, Jeff Sessions, the administration, has held its ground, describing this as part of their zero tolerance policy, a term that we should always be wary of and should send a chill through us if we hear it. No good can come from it. Mike, tell us about what is new and what's old in this separation policy.
Well, parents and children have always been separated, if that's incidental to something else, like a criminal prosecution. But what's new here is a policy of separation. It's done explicitly to discourage people from making asylum applications or from coming to the United States.
My understanding is that the criminalizing of entry in the U.S., and that this is a different issue to some extent from asylum seekers, people entering the country illegally are now criminalized in a new way. And so there's a reliance on policies that allow and require children to be separated from their parents in criminal cases where parents are being criminally prosecuted. So it is, in that sense, relying on tough law and order policies elsewhere.
Well, there's competing laws. One law is the misdemeanor and felony sections of the federal code that make it illegal to enter is a misdemeanor, and illegal to re-enter is a felony. On the other hand, there is the fact that if you are in this country, you are covered by the Constitution, whether or not you are here illegally. That's been the case for a couple hundred years. It's also the case that you have a constitutional right to familial integrity, that the family, there are judge-made interpretations of the Constitution that have made it clear that the family's integrity is a fundamental right.
Barring some compelling reason to separate children and parents.
That's right. So practically speaking, people have been separated if there are going to be criminal trials or if somebody's going to be in prison, but there have been no specific efforts made to separate families. And what's happened in San Diego is a lawsuit where two people, both asylum seekers, although it wasn't limited to people seeking asylum, came here and were promptly separated from, even though there was no criminal reason, no reason having to do with them being incarcerated for unrelated reasons. They were just simply separated as part of the policy. And what the ACLU is contending is that this shocks the conscience. This is a violation of substantive due process. There's no reason to do it. It's done to, quote, send a message, hopefully, to, according to Jeff Sessions, discourage other families from coming here. But what the court in San Diego found is that not necessarily that's exactly what's been happening, but that it's possible that plaintiffs could prove that. So he did not grant the government's motion to dismiss the whole case.
There are rights of asylum seekers that are recognized by international law, and yet asylum seekers face a different fate in different countries. In Canada, for example, asylum seekers are provided legal counsel, they're provided social support, social services, and have many rights that asylum seekers under review in this country don't have, so they can languish and even be held for long periods of time in the U.S. while their asylum case is being processed. So given all of that, it seems like a pretty thin reed to tie the fate of so many people at the borders on U.S. existing asylum policy. It grants a bit of humanity, but even with this case, it seems pretty limited what you have to argue.
Well, true, but it's a very vivid, strong example of media presentation, for example. I mean, the issue is a very large one. It has to do with the coup in Honduras, which is the steadily worsening social order down there. My partner, Jim Smith, now represents a family from Honduras who were basically extorted. They're in a neighborhood that has been emptying out. People have left for the large part.
The U.S. government is implicated in the fate of people there.
They supported the coup that overthrew a popularly elected president. They have everything to do with the economy. We have exported all sorts of gang members from in large scale from this country, from Los Angeles down to Central American countries. We run those places. And the direct result of our policies has been social disintegration. So people come here, and the most really dramatic and worst thing that of all the bad things Jeff Sessions has done has been to announce that gang violence and domestic violence are no longer sufficient reasons to support an asylum application.
And that's been a real important dynamic here in narrowing the grounds of these cases, and that's part of the ACLU complaint or class action suit, that so many of what historically have been expanded grounds for asylum, you know, initially it was very narrow after World War II, but had victims of discrimination against homosexuality, genital mutilation, women face threats of and sexual violence. So this narrowing is really turning back history in terms of this expanded basis of claims. But it also seems to raise a larger issue of why people are leaving and the narrowing of a focus on why people flee and how the U.S. government is deeply implicated in the suffering of people and their vulnerability in so many places.
Well, at bottom, it's all a political question. But what this family separation policy is doing, it's making people aware that the immigrants from the south of our border are not all MS-13 gang members or rapists. They include two-year-olds who are standing there sobbing while their mother is being pulled away. There's a range of people, and I think it's expanding that discussion. Now, nobody wants to own this policy. Everyone wants to blame the other political party or somebody else.
Because all that rhetoric and family values that women are purposeful beings to the extent that they care for their children. I mean, all of the hypocrisy of that is revealed rather blatantly. It's kind of like sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. You know, the hypocrisy is on display mightily. But to rely on children being ripped from the arms of their parents to make a moral case for opening borders, for changing policies around borders, also sets a very high bar for what's a sympathetic story at the borders.
Well, it should not be a bar, but it certainly opens a discussion. Once you recognize that this is what's happening, then they can make their other larger points that, well, there's so many people coming. And we can say, well, there are reasons why so many people are coming. And all those issues don't even become discussed. They're not on the table. And until and unless people really look at the whole family separation policy, I think it's a great wedge. It's an important issue, one that can be won. And to the extent that it's being discussed, the fact that among all the other immigration issues is the issue of family separation. That's not even been on the table. The whole questions that have been posed about whether or not Trump is an inhuman border maker have to do with keeping gang members out.
Yeah, and rapists and murderers. And talk about projection onto the outside of the border. Yeah, on the other side of the border. I do think, though, that the larger question of in whose interest border politics and the sovereign power of the state to protect and police its borders has to remain central to a left vision. I mean, why it shouldn't matter where you're born. And it doesn't matter for a lot of affluent people who go all around the world. Capital is very mobile across borders increasingly, and so are people of affluence. Can go anywhere they damn well want to. And young people, middle class kids, go abroad and teach English here and there. And you know, the world is a small place for them. And who are the people who are stopped at the borders, who have to have a damn good story of suffering to get through?
and a version of suffering that expands or contracts depending on demands of the labor market.
Right, and it disavows our dependency on the labor of people elsewhere in the world, as well as their basic humanity. I know there is one argument, well, they have to come in, take jobs that Americans won't do, and that also seems a very conservative argument, even though it, like the child being ripped from the arms of the mother, it does kind of undercut the most reactionary arguments.
Well, Jen, I think in 100 or 200 years from now, morally speaking, just as we now think the idea of discriminating against somebody because of their gender or because of their race is something that is not widely accepted, and it was as recently as 60 years ago in this country and 80 years ago, I think we're going to come to see that the idea that somebody's entire future should hinge on whether they were born in Portland or Mogadishu is going to be seen as really arbitrary and not right.
Yeah, and we've had so many times in history where borders were different than now and didn't matter so much, soft borders. And I want people to check out a demonstration at ICE. There's a group in Portland calling for people to come down to the ICE detention center in McAdam, support them today, 8:30 tonight. You should be able to find out about it. On the monthly calendar of DSA Portland and other left groups in town, check it out. I'm going to go down there this evening as well. So, Mike, we'll be following this over time, and you're of the mind that whatever you can throw at these people, wherever you can find resistance, use it,
absolutely,
including through the courts, but we also have to use the streets in protest, because sometimes the courts are very limited, and even with the case you mentioned with your colleague Jim Smith.
Yes.
And just in closing, say a bit about how limited these cases can be before we close.
Well, Jim's in despair right now because he developed the facts of the case, which had to do with this Honduran neighborhood in a city where the husband was basically told to pay up a regular fee. He refused by the gang that basically had replaced police and every other part of the social order. And so they fled to this country. And under the new rule that says gang violence is no longer sufficient. Sessions says the world is essentially a miserable place, and the fact that you have a miserable situation is not sufficient grounds to allow you to come to this country.
Similarly, with women in domestic situations of domestic violence, it's like tough.
So politically, yeah, of course, it has to do with being active in the streets, but on, yeah, the ground, the law is the place where concrete cases get resolved.
Yeah, and there's nothing to minimize, and it's not an either-or proposition.
Not at all.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll be following this over time, and justice is in the courts and the streets. It's Jan Hawk and Mike Snedeker talking today about Sessions' policy of separating children and families in the, at the border.